Welcome to Morph Into a New You, part of MHNRnetwork.com. Your host, Johnny Calloway, is the author of several books, including Taming the Dragon, Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge. He will be having conversations with people from all walks of life. Healing really is an inside job that transforms you to become a better version of you. We must change our self-talk and inner dialogue so we can start to believe. A special thanks to our sponsor, Meaningful Expressions, at m-expressions.com. They can take a concept, thought, or personal brand and turn it into a visual masterpiece that you can use to raise awareness about your passion or cause. They've certainly done that with our podcast website. And thank you for joining Johnny as you morph into a new you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, host of Morph Into a New You, part of Mental Health News Radio Network. We want to give a big shout out of thanks and gratitude to Kristen Sinatra Walker for what she's created for us here and all the help she's doing by allowing so many of us to get our voices heard. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We have Dr. Paul Meyer here with us tonight. He's a psychiatrist. He's a consultant to the White House on mental health issues. He has clinics all across the country. He's got over 100 books that he's written, sold over 8 million copies, you said, Dr. Meyer?
Yeah. Hi, Johnny.
Hi. And he's had a couple of them on Oprah. So the guy knows what he's talking about. Hello, Dr. Paul, and thank you so much for being here with us.
It's my privilege, Johnny. I enjoyed being on with you before on Mental Health News Radio.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to talk about tonight is the connection between bipolar disorder and addiction. And the big thing we're going to talk about is the importance of hope to getting out of those things. First question for you is, what is actually the clinical definition of bipolar?
Okay, bipolar is a genetic disorder. So it's not caused by anything. People think it's caused by, you know, trauma or this or that or the other thing, but it's inherited. And it may skip generations. You know, if your mom or dad have it, you still only have one chance in six of getting it, and 5 out of 6 that you won't. But it's inherited, and it shows up usually in the teens, 20s, or 30s, but can show up earlier or later. But when it shows up, and there's all different degrees of it. So some people have mild bipolar, and some people have real severe bipolar, where when they get manic, they think they're Jesus, or run down Main Street naked, and, you know, all sorts of bizarre things. But usually it's a lot milder than that. But what happens is, if somebody inherits it, they'll have 3 or 4 days in a row where they only sleep 2 or 3 hours a night. But instead of being wiped out and tired like most of us would if we only slept a couple hours a night, they have about twice as much energy. And they tend to be, they're usually real happy during that manic episode. So they'll have 2 or 3 hours of sleep, they have a lot of energy, and be euphoric and happy and overconfident. And they'll talk fast and dominate the conversation. And they'll go from project to project but not finish any. They'll usually spend more money. A lot of them will be more flirtatious, even if they normally aren't that way. And they'll have racing thoughts, that sort of thing, for 4 or 5 days. And even though they're happy, they may be irritable toward people that don't agree with them because they sort of feel like they know everything, you know. And again, there's people that have that so mild that the people that work with them would just say, man, you're wound up today. And there's people that have it more severely where they would, you know, blow way too much money, you know, maybe everything they got saved or things like that, but they'd still function fairly normally. And then people with bipolar 1 is the severe kind. Bipolar 2 is the milder kind. But if they have bipolar 1, then they will usually become psychotic. And I had one guy that was a real committed Christian, sincerely was a, you know, great family man and all that, but he got manic and tried to buy the $1 million saloon here in Dallas, a topless place, and tipped thousands of dollars to the gals there, you know. And then, but then after 3 or 4 days of being high like that, then they get suddenly depressed, usually for twice as many days. So if they're 3 days high, usually they're 6 days low where they get real depressed. Again, it can be a mild depression all the way to being suicidal. 1 out of 5 commit suicide at some time in their lives if they don't get treated right. So they're real depressed and they sleep too much and for maybe 6 days, and then they go back to whatever their normal self is. And their normal self may be always mildly depressed, or it may be just a normal, happy person. So the average person with bipolar will have 3 days high, 6 days low, 2 or 3 months normal, 3 days high, 6 days low, 3 months normal. And if they kept it on a calendar, they could almost predict within the day when the next one would hit. They're regular cycles. And some people have them every, some people have them every 5 weeks, and some people have them every 5 months, you know, but they're regular cycles. And 70% of people with bipolar become alcoholics or drug addicts, usually alcohol. And that's because the chemical that messes up the brain when they're having their cycle is called GABA. Capital G, capital A, capital B, capital A is what we call it, GABA. And it's gamma aminobutyric acid, but you don't need to remember that. And so we cure it by the GABA medicine. But alcohol is like a GABA medicine, except it causes brain damage, makes you depressed the next day, depletes other chemicals in the brain. So alcohol is a real lousy medicine, but it does work.
Wow.
So people with bipolar that don't really know they're bipolar, they'll drink too much and it'll pull them down off to high, or it will numb their pain when they're low. And so a lot of them become alcoholics, but it's real easy to treat. Bipolar is easy to treat. We put them on like Lamictal, L-A-M-I-C-T-A-L.
Right.
The generic is Lamotrigine. We put them on that 19 times out of 20. That'll work just great. We build them up slowly on that. We may load them up on Seroquel or something else to get them over it quickly. And we have a day program where people come 7 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 weeks, and we get almost anybody over almost anything in 3 weeks there. But if somebody was bipolar, but they weren't so manic, they'd have probably for long enough to come down off their high, you know. But then if we treat them there, we do counseling every day, come on Lamictal or other things. But the Lamictal takes several weeks for it to work, but after you're on it for 4 weeks, it's fantastic, and stay on it the rest of their lives, and they live a very normal life. A third of the time, they don't even know that they have bipolar. Truth is, they have real mild highs that are just enjoyable and lows for 6 days, but they're normal the rest of the time. And they're really normal then, too. They just have a little bit of the blahs, you know, sometimes. I give them hope.
Yeah, you just described my story. The medication that I take, I've been diagnosed as bipolar, too, and I take Lamictal and Seroquel every day.
Yeah.
Most people that know me that didn't know about my crash almost 10 years ago now, where I ended up hospitalized, most people that know me today would never guess that I'm bipolar.
Yeah.
At least I don't think they would. Some of my friends listening to be like, man, I've been knowing you're bipolar for a long time. But,
I doubt that they, a lot of people, if anybody has any kind of trait, they'll say, oh, I think you're bipolar. That's a commonly used term today. But unless somebody's sleeping towards the night and acting like they're revved up on amphetamines, they don't have bipolar, you know. So.
Right. So
you seem as normal as can be to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I teach classes at the treatment centers around here about how to deal with addiction and bipolar when you have them together. And I say I teach classes. What I do is I share my experience. And part of what I always say is that I take my medication for my chemical imbalance because I can't manage that without the medication. But the medication alone will not make me a happy person. I have to do my internal work and manage my thinking in a way that helps me to be a happy person. The medication won't do that. And what I've observed, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is so many people will try a medication for a little while and they think the medication itself is supposed to make them happy. And when it doesn't, they say it's not working, but they're not wanting to do the other work.
Exactly. Like if somebody has, if some people just inherit the dips, you know, and they have periodic depressions, and that's usually a serotonin problem rather than a GABA problem. And so some people inherit where periodically their serotonin will get real low. So they'll get real depressed and sad and self-critical and all sorts of stuff. And I'm wake up in the middle of the night, can't get back to sleep. I'm on a serotonin medicine, you know, antidepressant. And it takes about a month to have a full effect, but it builds their serotonin back up to a normal level. Now, if somebody that was real happy took a serotonin medicine, it wouldn't make them any happier. The medicine doesn't make people any happier. If somebody without bipolar took a medicine, it would relax them a little more if they are uptight. But if they're relaxed and happy, they wouldn't even know they're taking anything.
Right.
So the medicine, all it does is make up for the genetic problem. But you're still a normal human and all need to do different things to enjoy life and be happy and have meaning in their lives. So the medication just makes a depressed person not have biochemical genetic depression, but they're still a normal human. They're still cry when their dog dies, you know.
Right.
And they're still gonna, you know, they still need to love and be loved and do all the things that you get from therapy or from life, you know, or from your wife or whatever, you know. So you're right. The medicine doesn't make a happy person happier, but it'll make a person that's clinically, chemically depressed have a normal happiness level for somebody that's going through whatever they're going through.
Right. Well, one of the things, and again, please correct me on any of this stuff that I might say where I'm off base, but one of the things that I believe I've observed, because a big part of my path out has been trying to help others out, even when I was still in it myself. But one of the things that I've watched is, like, once somebody gets a diagnosis of being bipolar, they seem to get afraid of the highs and lows so much that, and this is the example I use all the time, and really, really correct me here if I'm wrong, but, like, so you've been diagnosed as bipolar and you get up and you're getting ready to go to work and you go out and you got a flat tire and you feel bad about it and you get a little afraid. Well, what I've watched mainly in myself was, out of the fear of becoming depressed, I'll go back in the house. I went through a period of doing this. Something like that would happen. I go back in the house and I'd be like, oh my God, I got a flat tire. What am I going to do? And I start freaking out because I'm afraid I'm going to go into a depression over a flat tire. And I've had to learn how to talk myself through that. Johnny, it's just a flat tire. Everybody has these. So call the boss, tell him you're going to be a little late, and fix the tire. But there was a time when I could not do that. Connect with us at johnnycalloway.com. And thank you for being here. And tune in again next week. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody.